let's start. So I think today and on Thursday I would continue to discuss. I will talk about the edge states of quantum Hall states, or more generally the topological ordered states. And the next week there is an informal workshop on superconductor, Hattie superconductor, and etc. So I plan to, because there will be a talk in the morning, so I think maybe there's too much talk if I give the two lectures. I probably only give one lecture on Tuesday. So next week, I plan to give a lecture on Tuesday. But maybe to introduce this slave particle theory. And, so here, we discussed how to construct long-range entangled states. We're using this string picture, string liquid picture, that's one picture. Then we use this pattern of zero picture. So the slave particle picture is another picture. Actually, it's the earliest picture. And so I guess maybe some people next week may use that. So probably Tuesday I would have some introduction of the slave particle picture. So I would cancel the Thursday's lecture. And then after next week, I have two more lectures. And then I plan to talk about the category theory of non-abelian statistics. So we'll go to the go to this category theory of non-abelian statistics, mainly talk about the fusion space, and etc. So today I would continue our story using pattern zero to discuss the edge states and the conformal field theory connection between quantum Hall state and edge states. So one thing I want to mention that if you're using this string liquid picture like this toroidal model and etc. And the wave function or topological order from those states have a property that the boundary are gappable. Means if these topological states have a boundary, the boundary can be fully gapped. Even the bulk is gapped, boundary can also be fully gapped. But however, the quantum Hall edge states have a very special property. That is, the boundary is not gappable. Somehow they have a gapless boundary excitation, which can never be gapped, no matter how you modify the boundary. So this is a very, very special feature. Okay, so therefore, there are two kinds of topological order. So that's one, the first kind is that the boundary is gappable. Another kind is the boundary is not gappable. Okay. So this is very important to realize there's two kinds of topological order. And then certainly there's a lot of a thing about this. And but the toroidal model or this string liquid is an example for the topological order whose boundary is gappable. Okay. And remember that we use this a very general theory of a string liquid. So using this kind of a reconnection rule. So this kind of a local string configuration is related to another local string configuration by some F symbol. I, J, K, L, M, N, alpha, beta, gamma, lambda, etc. So there's a runtime tensor which connect these two local configuration. Then using this runtime tensor, we can define or describe this string liquid. So it turns out that at least we believe that this runtime tensor probably fully describe all the 2+1 dimensional topological order whose boundary are gappable. So all this kind of string liquid, the boundary gappable. Maybe that's all. All the top-level order whose boundary are gappable can be described in this fashion. So certainly, you know, why you believe so? Well, certainly, we don't have a theorem, you know, why we believe so. But maybe after the lecture, after next week, you may get a sense why we can believe such a statement. This kind of a string liquid construction exhausts all the boundary gappable topology order. There's a reason. Certainly we don't have proof, but we have a reason, have an intuition, this may be true. But maybe after the week, after next week, maybe we can describe this reason. Okay, so that's one thing. So this looks pretty exciting because first we can use this random tensor as a data to characterize an ideal wave function. And then we know what is available data, like this random tensor satisfies Pandic identity. We can solve this nonlinear algebraic equation to find all the Pandic, all the tensor which satisfy certain algebraic equation. Then we can get a list of all the topology order whose boundary are gappable. So this way we can get some kind of classifying theory of a boundary gappable topology order. So this really points to the direction that we may have a complete understanding of this part of a many-body entanglement. You know, at the beginning it's very difficult. It looks like we have no handle of that. We don't know what it is. But somehow it's now I feel at least in 2+1 dimension it's not too bad. You know, it's just a random tensor plus Pandic identity, some RGB equation. We may completely understand one class of many-body entanglement. That sounds very exciting, actually. Okay. But on the other hand, as a practical issue is that solving Pandic identity, solving this nonlinear, Pandic identity is a nonlinear algebraic equation. There's many, many equations. Maybe, for example, for the typical setup, maybe there's say 2 million equation or 10 million equation, and with 1 million unknown. So there's more equation than unknown. But they are all nonlinear algebraic equation. So it's almost impossible to solve. And so there's a practical question, you know, whether one can find efficient algorithm to solve those equations, or may find a different way. You know, I wish there's a different way. So that you can create a list of a topology order. So right now you have a theory, it looks like you have something, but in practice, we still don't have a list. We couldn't create a table because the computation load is too high at the moment. So that's one direction. It's interesting to see. But we wish we can construct, make a list of topology order. Okay, so that's one thing. Okay, so this is kind of some background. Then for the quantum Hall states, then that's kind of another extreme. That you have this the edge excitation. We have edge excitation which is a gapless, and this gap, so we have a now we have a so that's not be and that's those are beyond this string liquid. So beyond this this is called a fusion category theory. Something beyond the fusion category theory, and we have gapless edge, and certainly we wish we would also have this full understanding of the topology order with gapless edge. But this is a little bit harder. But among this topology order with a gapless edge, there's another subset we call a purely chiral, fully chiral. Means because the boundary of a 2+1 dimensional state is a one dimension. So one dimension, the dynamic theory, you have excitation moving to the right, moving to the left, so you have right mover, left mover. So the purely chiral topology order is a topology order that whose edge can be purely chiral, means contain only right mover, no left mover. So those are simpler. Okay. The more general theory is contain both left mover and right mover. And sometimes when you have both left mover and right mover, these two can be gapped and became no gapless excitation. Okay. So the two simple situations would be the gappable edge, or purely chiral, which the topological order whose edge are only right mover, no left mover, so they're purely chiral. The more general theory would contain both. Okay. And certainly we wish we have a theory for the more general theory, but maybe we can make a harder question a little bit simpler by considering the topological order with the gappable edge, which is just this kind of theory, fusion category theory. Or we can develop a theory where the edge is a topological is purely chiral, means the edge are purely chiral. So actually, this theory described so far on this pattern zero is kind of a theory for the purely chiral topological order, we hope. But that theory is not fully developed, not like this fusion category theory. So here I'm a little bit confident that, yeah, we have a theory which describes all the topological order with the gappable edge. But for pattern zero, this theory itself is not a full theory, and so it's not in such good shape. But it's attempt to develop such theory. Okay, so this is kind of background. So it is in this background we discuss the edge state of quantum Hall states as an example of a purely chiral topological order. So can we have a general theory for that? Okay. So using the pattern zero, we developed this generalized Pauli exclusion principle. So maybe let me just remind you of that. Let me see. Let me just get over there. Yeah, maybe let's just get here. So using the pattern zero, we developed this some kind of general Pauli exclusion principle. Okay. So now let's try to describe what is this generalized Pauli exclusion principle. There's a few background. Let's consider a quantum Hall state on a torus. Okay. On a torus, we can in the magnetic field, we can take a so-called Landau gauge. Then the single particle energy level are some kind of wave functions goes like this. It's kind of a magnitude have a no y dependent. It's absolute value wave function is constant along y. But in x direction, it's localized in x direction. But certainly, the phase of wave function depends on y. So actually, there's a momentum. As you're changing y, the phase wave function changes. Okay. So this is called the Landau gauge. And then you have many of such wave function. Okay. And all those single particle wave function form this Landau band or Landau level. And you can occupy those a single particle wave function by electrons orbiting a mind body state. So that is a picture. Okay. And then you can take a so-called thin torus limit. And because the width of this wave function is a so-called magnetic length. The magnetic length is such that 2 pi LB square will be the area which have a 2 pi flux, one flux quantum. So that's the kind of characteristic of magnetic field strength. If a torus is very thin and very long, and we have a property that because of the neighboring orbit, the area between neighboring orbit is happen also to be 2 pi LB square. So usually, if the width of a torus is large, usually the two orbits are it's very close, so it's mostly overlapping, because the whole area between these two orbit is the magnetic length square. It occupies one flux quantum. However, if a torus, if you have very thin torus, such that the perimeter of the torus is L, is much less than a magnet length. Then we have a situation that the neighboring orbit very far apart. So those are neighboring orbits. They're very far apart. Okay. So that's effectively, so this orbit like a site in one dimensional system. And so therefore, these many body states of on the torus, in the thin torus limit, can be viewed as 1D many body states, where electron may occupy those sites. Okay. So this is really led to this picture. So this is this picture is that let me see we have a better picture. Okay, maybe let me just draw it. So then you may ask. So for the wave function, Laughlin wave function Zi minus Zj cube. So that's a two-dimensional wave function. But you can also, and this two-dimensional wave function is a ground state of this delta potential interaction, x minus y. Certain maybe with two derivative or something like that. Some kind of special, it's a zero energy ground state of some kind of delta potential interaction, or derivative delta potential, some pseudo potential. And certainly, because this is exact result, does not depend on how thick, how thin is the torus. So therefore, same thing is true. You can have this kind of delta interaction in a very thin torus. And this interaction also have a zero energy ground state. You say, what are those zero energy ground state for this particular interaction? And then the answer is that this zero energy ground state in this 1D lattice picture became a one-dimensional CW. For this case, it's simply like a 100100. So they have this occupation. Okay. So it became a CW. And you have a threefold degeneracy because the translation is broken. So there's another one, it's 0100001, you know. And they can shift. And we know that putting Laughlin state on the torus have a threefold ground state degeneracy, correspond to three quasi particle type. But however, this interaction on the one dimensional case have a translation symmetry breaking, and this translation symmetry breaking have a threefold degeneracy. Okay. And so it's kind of interesting. Okay. But then how about the other wave function? If the power is not third power, it's the first power, then what is the wave function? Then the wave function is a 1, 1, 1, 1. It's a multi-insulator. It has just one electron occupy every orbit, just fill everything. It breaks the discrete symmetry. Yeah, the reason is that the position orbit is fixed. It's a somehow once you gave gauge potential, this orbit are really fixed. The orbit cannot move. It just occupy this or not occupy this. So really, it's a lattice model. Okay. Now here maybe I want to make a remark. Maybe in particular in perimeter you heard about the non-commutative geometry. And actually, this lambda, like what I'm talking about, is a two-dimensional non-commutative geometry. So this is a two-dimensional non-commutative geometry. And what I'm describing here is a one-dimensional lattice model can be viewed as a two-dimensional non-commutative geometry. That's it. And I don't want to go further. So there's a connection. And using these two examples, try to demonstrate that the pattern of zero somehow have its consequence on this one-dimensional occupation pattern. Because here we only have first order zero, so their particles are close; they can pack together. Here we have third order zero, so therefore the particle has to space further apart. So therefore, there is a generalized poly exclusion principle. And for this case, for this integer quantum Hall wave function, the one-dimensional occupation have a standard Fermi Pauli principle. Just every particle, every orbit have one or zero particle, can at the most have one particle. But however, for Laughlin wave function, one-third filling fraction, the one-dimensional theory actually have a generalized Pauli exclusion principle. That is, every three orbit have at most one particle. So every three orbit have at most one particle. So this is a kind of generalized picture. So then for the Pfaffian state, remember the Pfaffian state is not a wave function. So we have a p-wave paired wave function, but which have a pole, you know, this. So this one have a pulse, but then we just multiply another Jastrow factor, try to kill the pole. So both this anti-symmetrized, this anti-symmetric, whole thing is symmetric. So this is a bosonic wave function. And this bosonic wave function, you would allow the particle to two particles occupy the same orbit. So therefore, this is a spin torus limit of this Pfaffian wave function. You can see that the two particles occupy the same orbit, but they also need to be spaced in a certain way. So therefore, this one have a more complicated Pauli exclusion principle, and that is every two orbit at most have a two electron. Yeah, but I think this is a Pauli, generalized Pauli exclusion principle. We kind of derived this on my previous lecture. So this is Pauli principle is every two orbit at most have two electrons, maybe every three particle must occupy three orbit or more. I think that's how I described last time. Three particle must spread out over three orbit or more. So three particle cannot squeeze into two orbits. That is not allowed. So this happened to be pattern zero. That's what I really mean is that if occupation starts with this rule, then remember that these Pfaffian states, this Pfaffian wave function also have some kind of three-body delta function interaction such that this wave function is exact zero energy states. Then the claim is that once the occupation have this rule that the every two orbit contain at the most two particle, once you satisfy this rule, then this one-dimensional wave function can be zero energy state of a particular interaction. So this we have very particular designed interaction, and then require and this interaction can have a zero energy state, but there are zero energy ground state satisfy generalized Pauli principle. That is a two orbit or contain at the most two particles. And in this case, we find we have a three pattern which is have same density but satisfy this. So that means this is three body interaction would have a threefold degeneracy on the torus, three zero energy state on torus. And so indeed, this one have a threefold degeneracy. And which is really reflection that there's three quasi particle type with one trivial, two non-trivial quasi particle type. So they all kind of fit together. Okay. So this is a kind of a generalized Pauli exclusion principle. But the generalized Pauli exclusion principle also allow us to get edge states. So now finally we get to the story. So those are kind of review, summarize what we did so far. So now let's get edge states. So we claim that certain special interaction have a zero energy states, zero energy ground state. But zero energy ground state have enough power of zero, like here, the wave function have at least third power of zero when two particles get together. And so this wave function would have maybe three, power 0 is maybe 3. No, 2, yeah. Have a second order of 0 if 3 particles get together. Yeah. But if you get 2 particles get together, can be no zero. But when you get 3 particles that get together, the wave function must vanish as a square of their mean separation. So they're second order zero. And so we can design the interaction to satisfy this behavior. And this interaction indeed have this non-abelian states. Okay. But this is true. This interaction on the sphere, this interaction would uniquely define a ground state wave function. So actually on the sphere, we will have one wave function satisfy this property that the 3 particles get together, we have a second order zero. That's uniquely determined the wave function. But on the torus, we find we have a 3 wave function satisfy this property. So that's why we have a 3 0 energy ground state. So we have a 3-fold degeneracy on the torus. But however, on the plane, suppose we do this on the plane, and then we have a wave function, we have only wave function, a droplet wave function, so we have electron only near the region. Then in this case, there are more, you know, there's a not much more wave function with zero energy. So this is a spectrum I got. So this is a energy spectrum, which is only first 100 energy level of some ideal Hamiltonian. But this is for Laughlin wave function. So the interaction is some kind of derivative delta function. Okay. And here I choose the Landau, this is not Landau gauge. We choose this, I don't know what, axial gauge, some gauge where we have rotation symmetry. Symmetric gauge, yeah. And so therefore the angular momentum is conserved. So therefore I just label the spectrum using total angular momentum, two-dimensional angular momentum. And so when I have 6 electrons, the Laughlin wave function will have the wave function. This will be the wave function with 6 electrons, this power 3, but the ij really is from 1 to 6. Okay. So the wave, then you can see this wave function would have an angular momentum, actually is a 30 or 45. The angular momentum is 45. Yes? Your question? Okay. Yeah, angular momentum is a 45. So you can see that this is unique, there's unique wave function with zero energy for that Hamiltonian. That's ideal Hamiltonian. But however, if you want to reduce angular momentum, when you try to compress it, reduce angular momentum means compress. When you try to compress it, you suddenly have an energy gap. So this is why we say the quantum houses are incompressible. But however, when you want to increase angular momentum, you have a sequence of zero energy states. So those are gapless excitation. Those are gapless excitation. And they are exactly zero, but the degeneracy is have degeneracy. There's a 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 11. So that's a degeneracy. So there's a pattern, the spectrum. There's a spectrum for the zero energy states. So those are so-called edge states. And you say those that have a degeneracy have a zero energy. Well, the things that the wave function with a higher angular momentum actually are larger. Remember, those wave functions are really operated by occupying these orbits. The bigger the orbit, the larger angular momentum. So therefore, if wave function, many body wave function have a larger total angular momentum, that means there's a more electron kind of further away from zero. So the wave function, the droplet will be bigger. And you can imagine that you can introduce a potential because this one have no actual potential. If you introduce some kind of potential like something like this, so you have a droplet like this. if a droplet getting bigger, then this part see higher potential, background potential, energy may be higher. So therefore, if you include this confining potential, then the larger droplet would have a higher energy. So this spectrum would go up. So this would be the spectrum in presence of a potential. And this is what we call this the edge chiral mode, because the angular momentum of the droplet became like a K momentum along the perimeter. So this is like angular momentum. And then we have the energy increase with the momentum. That's a dispersion relation. And we only have one branch because we don't have the other one. Because only we increase angular momentum, we have a low energy excitation. If we decrease momentum for negative momentum, we don't have anything here. So we have a purely chiral states. So that's how we have a purely chiral edge states. Okay. And typically, in general, this will be linear dispersion relation in general. And so therefore, something with linear dispersion relation in one plus dimension is so-called conformal field theory. So therefore, this is this edge state somehow is connected to the conformal field theory through this. So this kind of a physical picture of edge states. So, and this is something you can measure because of the ground degeneracy, you need a torus, and it's hard to make a torus in the experiments. But it's very hard to make a sample with a boundary. So you can probe the edge, you can probe this edge spectrum, and you can measure in experiment. So those edge states are very important in probing topological order. Okay, so now those are kind of basic background, the basic fact about edge states. So now the question is that, what is the edge state? Can we determine the edge states? Can we determine the theory which describes edge states from our knowledge of topological order in the bulk? So this may be the first holographic principle. That is it's not about the bulk determining edge. It's about the edge contain all the information about the bulk. That if you know the edge, you know all the information about topological order in the bulk. So the boundary determine having all the knowledge of a bulk. So it's really truly a kind of holographic principle. So by knowing the edge completely, say through three experiments, then you'll know the topological order in the bulk completely. So this is another belief. Okay, but now we try to go from another direction. We have a pattern zero description of the bulk wave function, the bulk topological order. So then the question is that, what can you say about the edge? So what kind of edge it have? So in this aspect, this is generalized, the Pauli exclusion principle became very useful. Because the first thing you want to know about the edge is it's a spectrum. You know, edge is a one-dimensional theory. You know, so what is a ground state? What is degeneracy? Okay. What is the first excited state? What is the momentum, angular momentum? What is the energy? What is the energy? What is the second excited state, the third, and et cetera? So what is spectrum? So we want to understand the spectrum of the edge states. Okay. So there's a way to understand the spectrum. So let me try to see this. Okay. One can using this generalize the Pauli exclusion principle to understand edge spectrum. Okay. So here is this picture. Okay. So what I'm drawing here is the following. It's like in quantum Hall states. We say, okay, we only occupy this half of a torus. We do not occupy this half of torus. And we only look at one boundary. So let's do that. So then you say, what is the edge on this boundary? We just fill half of a torus, and this part have zero density. What is the edge station here? Then you say, okay, let's take a thin torus limit of this picture. Then this picture became, we have a thin torus, we occupy half of a thin torus. Then you say, what is zero energy? Because here, in ideal situation, we only want to count so-called zero energy spectrum. You know, we don't have an edge potential, we have ideal Hamiltonian, we just want to count zero energy spectrum. In the zero energy spectrum, we can go to thin torus limit. And using this generalized principle help us to count those zero energy states and the zero energy spectrum. So this is the idea. So what I'm plotting here actually is this picture. So this is a we occupy half, and then we have a boundary. Then we just see what is the zero energy spectrum. Okay, and then this is a ground state. Okay, the excited state will be we put some electron, we move some particle from here to here. So this is very much like the integer quantum Hall state. For integer quantum Hall states, the wave function will be the zi minus zj. Okay, then the corresponding pattern will be the 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, then 0. So that's a thin torus limit occupation pattern. And this pattern also corresponds to the standard picture that we have this dispersion curve k, we have these energy levels. But those are we occupied. So those are ones. And those are not occupied, those are zeros. So this picture, these two are corresponding to each other. And there we know to create excitation, we're just moving some particle from occupied state to unoccupied states. So then that means we're moving some one to here, so we get 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, etc. We can get that. And here we have the usual Pauli principle. We just follow Pauli principle to obtain all the allowed states. Then we get a many body spectrum on the edge. Not single body spectrum, this is a many body spectrum. It's a spectrum for many body wave function or many body Hamiltonian. So we want to do a similar thing for the Pfaffian states. So this is for Pfaffian states. But Pfaffian states have a Pauli principle that the two orbits can at the most have a two particle, no more. We follow this and to see how many patterns can we have. So here we can move one of two to here, so that being one, one. We can also move one of two from here to here. So these two became one, one. So in this case, moving one thing out here can increase angular momentum by one. So I'll increase momentum by one. So both states, in both states, these ground states, that's M0. But these two states would have M0 plus one, which has increased momentum by one. Okay. But then we know that this part, now we have a two orbit have a three particles, so this is not allowed. This is not allowed. And certainly there's many other ways. We can also move this one to here, but for the same reason, it's not allowed. So actually you can check, there's many, many M plus one state, but only one of the states are allowed is this one. Only this is the only one which is allowed. Satisfied is a generalized Pauli exclusion principle. So those are zero energy states. Rest are non-zero. And then similarly, we can try to do two. So we can move, now we can move this one further to two here. So now this two to here. So this is actually allowed. So actually, we find that these two patterns are allowed when M plus, for M0 plus two. And this is only, there are only three patterns, this is only three patterns which is allowed. So you can play this game and try to check exclusion principle. And from here, you will construct this the spectrum, which is 1, 1, 3, 5, 10. It's 1, 1, 3, 5, 10. Okay, so you get the spectrum. And so that's basically it, yeah. So once you have the generalized Pauli exclusion principle from pattern zero, then you can construct the edge spectrum. Then construct edge spectrum. Okay, so what? Well, there are several things. And when you construct the edge spectrum, is that so you want to characterize it, for example, you want to characterize it. So they say, oh, to characterize you need many, many integers, an infinite amount of integer to say what is spectrum. And however, there's a more general way to characterize it. It's just that when this M is large, what is asymptotic behavior of this sequence? So that's like a many body density of states. You know, how many excitation? Do we have more or less? So we have a number we call the central charge, which characterizes how many. And the central charge turned out to be here. And I'm not seeing whether I have somewhere. Okay, yeah. You have a central charge here. So it turns out that so this n, dn is a number of states. This d is a number of states, the degeneracy. This little n is m0 plus n, you know, how much increase. It turns out that, I don't know why I say it, but I think it's in the show, for conformal field theory, for every conformal theory or one-dimensional typical 1D system, enlarging limit, this dn goes to like a square root of n, exponential square root of n. it's grow very fast, but not like e to the n, it's e to the square root of n. Okay. And then for some reason, and we say the coefficient, we write the coefficient of square root of n in this very interesting fashion where there's 2 over 3, there's a pi, and there's square root of c. And this c is called central charge. So basically, the many body degeneracy, so this growth of this level counting grow like a square root of n. And the coefficient of the sum of square go like e to the square root of n. The coefficient in front of a square root of n after some constant is basically the so-called central charge. Yes.
So here
is
the chiral
central charge. It's chiral center charge. Yeah, because we don't have a right mover. Sometimes when you have a left mover, you have a similar central charge for a left mover. And many people take a sum of the central charge for right mover, central charge left mover as a total central charge. But here we don't have a purely chiral theory. So we don't have, this is really chiral central charge.
For example, for the two-third
right mover
state,
yeah.
The commit is 1 minus 3.
Yeah.
So
it's a. Yeah, have right mover, left mover. So in that case, the right mover has central charge C equal to 1. The left mover also has central charge C equal to 1. So that's a C equal to 1 central charge. So the basically, what I try to say is that there's one way on the central charge. The central charge just counting, just density of state, but the many body density count how many states. Then from this point of view, it's easy to understand the C theorem. The C theorem means that we have a conformal field theory. If you turn on some kind of relevant interaction, it will flow to another conformal field theory. During the flow, central charge decrease. And that means typically, when you do some perturbation, you want to gap the system. So you reduce the low-lying excitation, so you reduce central charge. So that's it. So central charge have this nature of reducing this, you know, central charge equal to zero means a gap. No low-lying excitation, so most stable. But central not equal to zero is maybe unstable, they want to reduce it. So the tendency to reduce central charge, reduce low-lying excitation, it's a C theorem.
I mean, that's how about the formula of dn for the
Islam chiral
two-third state? I mean, how about the dn formula for
this
non-chiral? I mean, if C is a...
That is more difficult to say. Okay, since you ask, let me just draw this. The spectrum for the non-chiral states is this, the many-body spectrum. So this is a hey, so let's say, or at or m. So there's some point with a reference point called zero. So there's a one ground state. And that's this droplet. But in this case, when you increase momentum, there's something. When you decrease momentum, there's something. But there are also things here in the middle. So you have a full continuum of excitation. But however, the excitation in the middle means that it's a mixture. You excite some right mover, excite some left mover. So they are mixed. But however, the excitation on this edge is a purely right mover. Because here you have a maximum k. So you only excite the right mover, but no left mover. But this part would contain only left mover, no right mover. So therefore, you can count the degeneracy here, you know, again. So this will be this distance will be the n. You can count how many states here, degeneracy here, but only this lower edge. And a similar thing can do things here. And then you, from there, you can determine what is a chiral center charge. But you do not use a spectrum in the middle. You only use these two leading edge. So that's how you determine this left or right central charge. Yeah. So then as a remark, actually this amazing thing is that, let me say that, the effective theory of the boundary is anomalous, have a so-called a gravitational anomaly. Okay. And the chiral center charge happened to be also a number which characterizes gravitational anomaly. So this is a pretty profound thing. You know, here I emphasize one aspect definition of central charge. Just a density of states, many body density state, just count how many states. That's one way. But however, the chiral central charge also have another interpretation, which is the effective edge theory have a gravitational anomaly. And this chiral center charge happened to be described this how much gravitational anomaly there. So so I don't know what is how to generalize to higher dimension. So this is quite a deep thing that the gravitational anomaly and the density state and the low energy theory, they have such direct relation. It's quite amazing. Yeah. Okay, so that's one aspect. So therefore we can then we can say what is the chiral center charge of such a spectrum? But certainly you have to compute many, and but using this, I don't know what one can really do so. And but it's quite kind of amazing. So in principle, I don't have a good algorithm to really to kind of asymptotic of Dn. But in principle, using this, you can compute the chiral center charge of the edge states. And then you may ask, what is the chiral center charge of such theory? Because if you know the chiral center charge, you can pick a conformal field theory, because the conformal field theory, we almost have classification of conformal field theory. You can pick conformal field theory with same chiral center charge, that's conformal field theory may happen to be the theory to describe edge states. Then the question, what is the chiral center charge? Then here we say that there's a, so then we let's consider another thing. And then what is chiral center charge of a Laughlin state? So let's consider something simpler, not a Pfaffian state, but Laughlin state. For the Laughlin state, actually, is a simpler. Suppose you have a Laughlin state, then the edge excitation can be generated by multiplying symmetric polynomial to the ground state wave function. Because when you multiply symmetric polynomial to the ground state wave function, you increase angular momentum, but you do not decrease zero. You only have more zeros. So those are still zero energy states, because these already have enough zero to make it zero energy. When you multiply some polynomial, they have more zeros, so those are also zero energy states. So therefore, the counting multiply symmetric polynomial to the ground state wave function always a zero energy states. And the Laughlin states turned out this kind of operation create all the possible zero energy states. So we just need to count how many symmetric polynomials we have for each order of z. For the first order, we have sum over z. That's the only thing we have. That's only symmetric polynomial at a level one. For level two, we can have a z squared of sum. Or the sum first, then square first, second. So these two are linearly independent. And similarly, you can use a similar idea to construct more. So these have to be the partition number. So therefore, for this case, we can get this 1, 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 5. This have the partition number of a 4. This partition number 4 is a 5. So basically, you can get this. And so therefore, this happens to be the edge spectrum of Laughlin states. For edge spectrum, Laughlin state is given by partition number. And so this central charge formula I just write down here is that for the partition number, if you Google somewhere, I think this is asymptotic formula for partition number. We have this coefficient. And the C equal to 1. For partition number, C equal to 1. So therefore, we say that the excitation for the Laughlin state is given by partition number is Harrison charge equal to 1. But actually, the C equal to 1 have another partition number have another interpretation. Because you can use the phonon to understand the partition number. Because let's assume we have a phonon. And the phonon have many single phonon energy level have a linear dispersion relation. So that's for every k, you have single phonon energy level or orbital. Then the many body excitation just fill those single particle level by phonons. And so we can fill to the first level, we can fill the first level by one phonon. And that's the only way to increase Angular by 1. And to increase Angular by 2, we can do so. We can fill the second level by one phonon or first level by two phonon. In both cases, we increase Angular by 2. So there are two ways that we have 2. In this way, you also get the partition number. So that's another way to get the partition number. Okay. So therefore, the partition number of this edge state for the integer quantum Hall state have a phonon interpretation, or in another way, have an oscillator interpretation. Basically, we can view each level, each single particle level as an oscillator. And how many phonon occupy that means this oscillator is excited or not excited, or how much excited. So we have oscillator interpretation. So those are mode. So each bar is a mode. So you have an oscillator interpretation. And we have, since this, so therefore, we can using a phonon, using collection of oscillator to interpret this spectrum. So in the fact, for integer quantum, for Laughlin state, the edge state have this hydrodynamic wave picture. The edge, that's just a wave on the edge. You quantize the wave, you get the oscillator, and you get the partition number, you get the central charge equal to 1. So all fit together. So I will not present this wave picture, but it have this wave picture. So in this case, we say there's a one wave mode. It's a one mode of edge excitation. So therefore, for Laughlin states, we have a one mode of edge excitation. And this one mode is central charge equal to 1. So actually, that's why we normalize this in a such strange way, because for the oscillator, for the one mode of for one wave mode, the central charge happened to be the spectrum happened to be the partition number. Then we say partition number is a we say that central charge equal to 1, our unit. Yes.
You can see edge states in this case as a single real scalar, or a complex direct pronoun.
Yes. So actually, this is a. If using this, picture by moving this fermion to by doing this, you also get spectrum. This one also partition number. So by using the fermion picture to contrast edge spectrum, you get the same partition number. So that's bosonization. So the excitation of the fermion system can be described as single bosonic mode, single scalar bosonic field. But this boson is a chiral field. And so maybe I will not go there. And so So there's a, you know, there's a lot of theory here. And yeah, and from this, with this preparation, then we can say that the for the Pfaffian states, what is number mode? The answer is more than one, because this spectrum is more than one partition number. The partition number is 1, 1, 2, 3, 5. So this is more than that. You say, oh, more than that, maybe up to two mode. Let me have a two Fournier mode. Using two Fournier mode, actually you can construct this two Fournier mode spectrum. If you find two Fournier is too much, this one is less than two Fournier mode. So it's between one and two. It turns out that this spectrum is 1.5. So central charge is 1.5. Yeah. So this is something immediately kind of strange. So this again indication that the Pfaffian states are not Abelian states. The edge state do not have an integer number of Fournier mode. Have a central charge have a fractional number. And those are character non-Abelian states. So therefore, the edge states, the conformal field theory describing Pfaffian states will be more exotic. It's not just like a Fournier, some one branch Fournier, two branch Fournier. No, it's a 1.5 branch of Fournier. So it's some kind of strange thing. But it's there. It's just counting those zero Abelian states. And you can diagonalize Hamiltonian. It's basically that you diagonalize Hamiltonian, just look at the spectrum. You find a single Fournier doesn't work, two Fournier mode doesn't work. So something exotic can happen. So therefore, these edge states can be a way, quantum Hall state can be a way to generate very exotic, very general conformal field theory, have a very non-trivial central charge, and etc. So those are kind of maybe the basic about this about the edge states. So in the next lecture, I will try to write down some conformal field theory for those edge states, and then try to have some connection that the conformal field theory, maybe as a description of a chiral, purely chiral topological order. Because we attempt to use a pattern zero to describe a topological order. It's half successful, because a pattern zero may not contain the full information to characterize all chiral topological order. And we want to get more information. So what is another way to describe a topological order beyond pattern zero? The answer is a conformal field theory. Actually, conformal field theory contain more information than pattern zero. So actually, conformal field theory can fully describe a chiral topological order. So there is a theory or attempt to use conformal field theory to fully describe a chiral topological order. But on the other hand, the conformal field theory is not a data, you know, we don't know what is conformal field theory. In the pattern theory, we know it's a sequence of integer. So you say, conformal field theory describes what that means. But suddenly using conformal field theory will allow us to understand, in addition to sequence of integer, what else we need? What additional data we need so that we can have a theory for chiral topological order. If you have such theory, then we also have a theory, a classifying theory of conformal field theory. You know, that's also a kind of open question, you know, how to classify all the conformal field theory. So actually, trying to classify purely chiral topological order and trying to classify all the conformal field theory is a similar question. And the pattern theory approach is an approach trying to push for this direction, you know. So maybe in the next lecture, I will try to discuss some of this kind of connection. But certainly, the goal for that will be have this systematic understanding of chiral topological order. Since we already know a lot of things about conformal field theory, thanks to string theory, so we hope we can tap into those knowledge, and then that may help us to understand the chiral topological order in a very systematic way. Yeah.
classifying parallel topology is the same as classifying compound
features? More or less.
Similar.
Not
yeah.
Totally the same.
Because compound features is bigger, right? I mean, logarithmic compound features, etc.
Exactly. So that's an enlightenment point.
Classifying compound field theory is very difficult because the problem is not well defined. Compound field, there's many ugly compound field theory. So actually, the chiral topology order are simpler. So the edge state of quantum Hall states is a subset compound field, or maybe you can say it's a nice compound field theory. And so therefore, we probably can that's a key. We probably can add some additional condition, and that may help us to really classify this subset. And this may be a better and a better defined, more well-defined question. Classifying compound field theory may not be a well-defined question, so that's why we don't have a full classification, although we know a lot. But this connection to quantum Hall state may allow us to have a good definition of compound field theory, and then we have a classification. Actually, the answer, this one will also have answer. The answer is a simple current algebra. So there is a subset compound field theory which can be understood in terms of simple current algebra. And so actually classifying chiral topology order and classifying simple current simple current algebra may be the same thing. And what is simple current algebra? I don't know. I know some, but I don't know whether there is a very rigorous mathematical definition. You know, I have some practical definition, which may not be rigorous, but enough to write papers. But the point is, you really asked a very good question. The point is that through this connection topology order may allow us to define a subset compound field theory, which is a better defined and which have a chance to have a classification.
Yeah. So the simple current algebra always produce this rational compound field theory.
Yes, so always rational compound field theory. So there are also
irrational compound field theories, the logarithm compound field theory, or all that. But maybe let me say the following. The logarithm compound field theory corresponds to the compound field theory with two. There are two operators we call identity. Kind of like that. There are two dimension zero operators.
And operator which corresponds to identity,
if using tensor category point of view, is called a trivial object. So usually in the tensor category theory, module tensor category theory, the trivial object only is unique. There's an assumption. I don't know what the name for that, simple or whatever. But there is a called a multifusion or some kind of another more general tensor category theory where a single object is not unique, there are several simple objects. However, in that case, we kind of know what that means. That means we not only have a topology order, we also have symmetry breaking. So it's a multiple simple object correspond to symmetry breaking. Okay, so that's a hint. I don't know if it's true or not. So this kind of back to here. We have a quantum Hall state with a symmetry breaking, where the edge state would be this logarithm. I don't know, but that would be interesting thought. You know, this maybe this additional identity operator corresponds to this symmetry breaking degenerate ground state coming from there. I don't know if it's true or not, but this would be the one direction one can pursue, the one the research direction one can pursue, and so. At least in the topological order, not from edge state. In the topological sense, I have a feeling or intuition that this multi-fusion category actually is just like you're adding symmetry breaking to it. And so. So other questions?
So about this this simple object, how about fermion system? Because for fermion system, you have boson and fermion, both of them are simple objects.
Yeah.
That's very, very interesting. And so this is in the conformal field theory, there are bosonic operator, fermion operator. Basically, it has whether the two operator which is well separated, do they commute or not commute? there is a bosonic or fermionic. I think the simplest simple current would be have only bosonic operator. So those simple current algebra probably describe a chiral bosonic topology order. And to describe chiral fermionic topology, you probably need to generalize simple current to have a fermionic version of that. And this is a little beyond myself. And but something like that. I would say that. So if a simple current algebra contains fermionic operator, or maybe let me put it another way. The simple current operator, simple current always have integer dimension. They are bosonic. So if you allow half integer dimension in your simple current, well, this is possible, then you may have this would be the fermionic simple current algebra, which contain half integer dimension operator as a generator. And then that will be the this fermionic simple current may correspond to fermionic chiral topology order. The classification can be quite different. So there's two versions of simple current theory. One's a bosonic version, another is a fermionic version. Yeah.
Is
a
V super algebra
the fermionic
version?
It's not V super algebra. It's just a
The
operator. You have the generator of simple current algebra would contain half integer operator.
You allow that. So if you allow that, this will be the fermionic version.
So that's my understanding. But I may be wrong. But this part is not so clear. We're kind of developing this. And I don't know about the simple current algebra, so I'm also learning, you know. I don't know. I'm hoping there's an expert, you know. But I really feel the simple current probably is a key. It's a generalization of current algebra. So current algebra is a special case of simple current algebra. But simple current algebra is something more general. And this may be the better way. Yes.
Describe the Pfeffen state. Don't you need some fermions as well on the boundary?
What?
The nuclear one Pfeffen state.
No.
The C3 half.
No. For bosonic Pfeffen state, you don't need the fermion. The simple kind of algebra is bosonic. But their excitation can be fermionic or can be non-abelian. I think that's true.
The
edge
state has a
Majorana
fermion, right?
I said have Majorana fermion, but let me see. Whether simple current have a fermion operator or not. This is the part I'm not so clear. I tend to believe the simple current can be purely.
Okay, let me put it this way. The edge theory have we don't want to say that, can be described by Majorana fermion. Okay. But that's different that you need, you probably can generate whole the edge spectrum using integer dimension operator, I think. Maybe next Thursday we can revisit. Thursday we'll give some example. You know what is a I don't know how to systematically describe simple current algebra, but I will use this Laughlin state and the Pfeffen state, these two examples, to describe how to use conformal field theory to describe them. And actually, the conformal field theory described actually is an example of simple current algebra. And from there, we can revisit this question. And so what's going on? Yeah.
So how can I understand conformal symmetry on boundary? Basically,
conformal symmetry, I don't know how to do that. So actually, here I do not want to emphasize conformal symmetry. You can see so we may actually may not have conformal symmetry. That's the key.
Okay. So you can see here that we have a, for the Laughlin states, we have a spectrum. So actually, this is kind of exaggeration. All those levels are nearly degenerate. So actually, those are degeneracy. They're on a line. It's very surprising why the many body exists that have this degeneracy. Yeah, it's very surprising. And this may relate to emergence of conformal symmetry. But for other case, in general, for like a two-fifth state, for example, feeling fraction two-fifth states, it have a two-edge mode. In that case, the edge spectrum is like this. It have a fan. It's a, have a lower edge and have a higher edge. Means there are two velocity. The lower edge is one velocity, the higher edge another velocity. This really means that it have two branches of phonon, and these two phonon branches have a different velocity. So they don't even have a Lorentz invariance. They have a two speed of light. So we certainly no conformal. No, not just fine tune. It's the emergency is okay. Let me see. We come to this. So therefore, at the low energy, the full theory do not have conformal theory symmetry because it don't even have a Lorentz symmetry. They have a two velocity. But each sector, the low energy theory separate into two non-interacting sector, and within each sector, it have a Lorentz symmetry and a conformal symmetry. Okay, so what that means? That means the dark energy may break Lorentz symmetry. Because this is very much like a dark energy, dark matter. This, we are in this sector, the dark matter here. The dark, it's totally possible dark matter have a different speed of light. I don't know cosmology constant, but this is a, so this is a condensed matter lesson that the emergence of conformal symmetry, emergence of Lorentz symmetry is within this strongly interacting sector. So the sector which people talk to each other, they somehow find a single speed of light. So they have a Lorentz symmetry. But there's another thing also possible that somehow the low energy, the system became two decoupled sector. And then the decoupled sector don't talk to each other and they have different speed of light. And so edge states of quantum Hall state actually is this example. And so therefore checking for non-relativistic effect of, of dark matter sector could be quite interesting. So that would be, at least from condensed matter, this is a pretty ordinary. And so in some sense, I do agree. So there is emergence of conformal symmetry and emergence of Lorentz invariance, but only within this interacting sector. But as a whole, we don't have that. So there's some very interesting phenomena here. Other questions? Okay, maybe we'll stop here. So next one is a Thursday. So next week, we only have a Tuesday lecture, which I will cover this silly particle theory. So we will cancel the Thursday lecture, otherwise too many talk next week.